Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Good morning, everybody. Are you ready to study the scriptures together this morning? All right, come on, this is going to be good. I can't wait. Next month, we're kicking off this series called Voices. You know, that cruel voice that just pounds away on the inside of your head? That's not God. We're going to talk about what's really going on and how to kind of debunk what God, that voice is talking to us about, replace it with the Word of God, and let the voice of God begin to have its influence in your life. It's going to set people free. So be sure you're here next month. Today we're wrapping up our summer series on You Asked For It, and we're wrapping up today on a sermon called Pray First, because we're just about ready to kick off a season of prayer. In fact, next Sunday, we're starting our second season of 21 days of prayer, and we're starting it next Sunday. It's going to be fantastic, and I can hardly wait to see how God opens our understanding of who He is and how He wants to work through us as we journey through that season of prayer, getting ready for what He wants to do in our lives this fall. So excited about all that. Speaking of prayer today, I wanted to actually wrap this up with talking about how to pray and how to approach it, because for many people, prayer is something we know we should be doing, but we really just don't do it as often as we should or like we should. And in part, it's because many people don't enjoy it. And it sounds odd to say that you're supposed to enjoy something that many people think of as a spiritual discipline, but the reality is, on the other side of prayer is God, who loves you and wants to be with you. And there is an enjoyment we're supposed to have in the journey of prayer. So we're going to actually go through this together. And I'm asking that you would allow the Holy Spirit to connect some dots for you that hopefully will make you want to lean into prayer a little bit more. All right, so speaking of enjoyment, I bet a lot of people could relate to this. A quick picture just to kind of get us started with that. How many of you recognize what that is? Yeah, that's cruel and unusual punishment right now at this time of a Sunday. But for those of you that can't see it well, that's a beautiful piece of chocolate cake, a layer chocolate cake, in fact. How many of you can picture yourself right now with a fork in your hand, cold glass of milk with a couple of chunks of ice in it just to keep it cold? Yeah, I'm weird, I know, but some of you are weird too. How many of you would actually start on this piece of cake by putting your fork right down through the tiny pointy part of it first? Yeah. Yep. Others would just take a little corner off the side where all the icing is at and go in it that way. You could eat your cake any way you want it. But the thing I want you to see about this today is that while it looks like a piece of cake, I actually want you to pay attention to its layers of things together that actually make the cake. So today I want to actually unpack some prayer dimensions, if you will, and talk about different layers of prayer that we ought to have in our life, or ways to approach prayer in layers that will help us, I think, want to lean in a little bit more. So let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to open our understanding, and then we'll dive in. Heavenly Father, thank You for being so good to us. Now today we ask that You would give us wisdom and insight by the Holy Spirit's power in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Okay, so now what we're really working on is praying first. It's the idea that prayer has a place in your everyday life. Let me just kind of push in on that a little bit more. I believe prayer has a place in every moment of every day in our life. Because in part, it's how we facilitate the ongoing power and presence of God in our life, staying close to Him. God never intended for you to live your life simply by your own willpower and strength and integrity. He actually wants to get inside of you and do things for you you cannot do yourself. How many of you know there are areas of your life you're going to have God's power to actually make it happen, because it's just not going to happen unless God does it? That's what we're talking about. So we're going to actually work into this today with that perspective. He intends for us to live our life by His supernatural power. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says this: be joyful always, verse 17, pray continually, circle that. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances. Here's the picture I want you to have on that. Praying continually, giving thanks in all circumstances doesn't literally mean your mouth is constantly moving in prayer and there's no time for anybody else because you're praying. This doesn't mean you have to seclude yourself into a cave somewhere and live like a hermit praying all day, every day, not having time for the bathroom. How many of you know that's a necessary part of life? You got to eat. You got to take care of yourself. So pray continuously must mean something else. We're going to get into it this morning and realize that what God is actually saying in this is bring me into everything you're doing and thinking by praying. But just before you do that, bring me into it, whatever it is, all right? So when you wake up in the morning, bring me into your morning with prayer. When you're actually sitting down and heading out to go to, you know, or sitting down for breakfast or heading out to go to school, bring me into that. You know, just before you pull out your credit card and buy that thing, bring me into that. You probably really should bring God into that. We might be shocked how often he'd clear his throat and go, ahem, put that card away. Then we all probably have reasons we don't want to bring God into it, but God is saying, no, listen, bring me in to your every moment life, not just every day life. So what we're basically saying here today is this, write this down. In every situation, pray first. Pray first. Pray first. Just as a lifestyle, I'm going to get in the habit of praying first. For many people, prayer sounds like a discipline, something that you just have to get done so you can get it moved out of your way and get on into your day. But I actually want you to see it this way. In fact, if you're taking notes, write this down. Prayer often starts as a discipline, but it shouldn't stay a discipline. In other words, there are some things we do as we're learning to pray, but at some point it becomes a lifestyle, not just a duty. In fact, we can see here in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, says this, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should, say it together, always pray and never give up. Always pray and never give up. For many people, prayer is a 911. It's, you know, something crisis happens. This is a throw the flag up, try to get God's attention. Hey, don't you see me down here? I need a little help. But what's really going on, in fact, write this down. Prayer needs to be our first response, not our last resort. Prayer needs to be our first response, not our last resort. And that's really the aim of today's sermon, that we will be pray-first people. I want to be a pray-first guy. All right, so if I think, oh, I've got a headache, just before I reach for whatever it is I may be reaching for, I'm going to bring God into that first and say, Lord, I'm reminded of the fact Jesus paid for this healing. Got it? Well, whatever it is, I'm going to bring him into it first. One of the greatest challenges I have as a pastor, and this really may be appropriate for many of us in here today because we're here at church together. We're worshiping. We can sense God doing great things. We're excited about it. But one of the biggest challenges I have as a pastor is getting us to move this moment past Sunday. Give yourselves some credit. You're here today. But for a lot of people, this is the God moment of my week. This is it. I get this done, then I live my life. I need to figure out how to get this place out of Sunday and get this place into your everyday, every moment life. So we're going to work on this together this morning because God never intended for you to be a Sunday Christian. Authentic Christianity is taking him into every circumstance, letting him lead you in every moment as you follow Christ through every moment of your life. That's what it means to be a Christian. Being a Christian isn't a culture or a membership somewhere. It is, I've decided I'm not going to follow me. I'm going to follow Christ. So Christ, come into my life. Now, we're going to walk together by the power of the Holy Spirit through every moment of my day. I'm not going to simply just meet you on Sunday. I'm going to live every moment with you. In fact, John chapter 15, verses 4 and 5 says, "Remain in me," Jesus is saying this, "and I will remain in you." Now, it's interesting. He didn't just say, "Now listen, you don't have a choice in this. I'm going to roll into your life like a hurricane." He said, "You remain in me, and I will remain in you." No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Jesus is saying, I want you to be a remain in me Christian. Not a Sunday Christian, but a remain in me Christian. Why? Because I want to remain in you. You remain in me, I remain in you. And if we do this together, you're going to be shocked what I produce in your life. Fruit. That's what he's saying. And you can't do it unless you're in me. Now, we all have natural gifts and abilities and things that God's given us, but God wants to do things through us that natural gifts and abilities simply won't do. And he's saying, if you remain in me, I'm going to remain in you, and I'm going to do some things in you. Galatians, one of the books of the New Testament, gives us there's a list of things that he does in us. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, or the results of the Spirit's power inside of us. It produces things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. On and on and on it goes. And God is saying, if you remain in me, I'm going to remain in you and produce some things inside of you. Not only that, I'm going to do things outside of you. Your marriage is going to work better. Your business is going to work better. Your family is going to work better. Your health is going to be better. The way you deal with the disciplines in your life, if you remain in me, but if you unplug from me, I can't do it through you because you're not in me. You got to be in so I can be in. Does that make sense, everybody? So I want to drive home the idea that prayer has got to be a big part of our life, but it can't simply be the Sunday thing. It's got to go with me. And today, I'm going to talk you through some things that I want to see. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to put together like that, the layers of that chocolate cake, and we just lean into, say, I'll have some of that. And that's what we're going to be looking for, all right? So let's talk about the four layers of prayer that actually, I believe, will help turn this into a completely enjoyable, powerful experience. Number one, for me to do this right, I need to prioritize prayer. I need to prioritize prayer. It simply can't be an accident. It can't just be something if I think about it, I'll do this. I actually have to prioritize prayer. All right? Husbands, how many of you know that your wife can tell if you are prioritizing her or not? If you're not sure about it, let me tell you, she knows. There may be a reason there's a chill in the air. You may be there in body, but if you don't prioritize her, there's a chill that just comes. And vice versa, ladies, it works the same way. So the idea is not just every once in a while there you are. I need to prioritize prayer. I need to prioritize it. All right? Which is one of the reasons why we're actually working on the idea of praying first. This phrase, praying first. First is actually very important. All through Scripture, we see God dealing with people, and in the things, in the middle of the things he's working with them, there's often this theme of, I have to be first. I have to be first. Do this for me first. Do this for me first. First is important, everybody. You know, for example, tithing. Literally, tithe means a tenth part. And we see in Scripture that whatever comes into our hands, whatever increases us, gifts, bonuses, payroll, whatever increases us, a portion of that is already God's. It's called the tithe, and it's a tenth part. Now, most of us can add, And most of us can figure out what 10% is. But the tithe isn't just some random 10%. It's the first 10%. I'm using tithing because we can think this way. It's easy to associate the idea. It isn't the math, it's the priority of it. And that's the reason we understand that everything we do with God, He has to be first. He's got to be first. So we're dealing with this issue of praying first. Well, it has to be a priority. So let me give you a practical tip and then we'll move on. Practical tip is give God your first word in every situation. Your first word in every situation. I wake up. God, today is your day. I'm going to walk with you and let you do great things through my life. Maybe you find yourself in a stressful situation. God, I'm giving you the outcome of this situation. I'm asking you right now, lead me forward or whatever it is. Perhaps you find yourself in an argument with your wife or with your kids. You know, just before you just let go of whatever's in your mind, just whisper a little prayer to the Lord. Now, Lord, I actually am looking for what you want out of this. Please guard my mouth and show me what to say so that my child and I can discover what you want out of this, not just whose feelings are going to get hurt out of it. Do you see what I'm saying? You pray first, then step. Pray first, then step. All right? So number one, I have to prioritize prayer. Number two is I need a place of prayer. I need a place of prayer. Mark chapter 1, verse 35, New Living says this. Before daylight the next morning, Jesus got up and he went out to an isolated place to pray. An isolated place. In other words, he was working through the discipline of finding a place to connect with the Father in prayer. You and I need a place for prayer. Now, I know it sounds odd that I've been saying you should pray continually because that's what the Bible's saying. And doesn't that mean all day long? And yes. But let me talk to you about places for a minute because I think this may help in some ways. How many of you have ever heard of the phrase, the third place? Okay, some of you have, perhaps. Maybe some of you haven't, but I guarantee you've experienced it. Let me reset that question and see if this comes into focus for you a little bit better. We have places in our life. There's a home place. It's kind of your first place. This is the anchor spot. Then there is my workplace or my school place. In other words, I leave my home place, I go to my second place. That's my vocation or my education. That's my spot. But there's a third place that used to be the bar or Starbucks or something along those lines that actually people would leave the second place and then go to because that's where they felt life kind of just happened. Now you understand what I'm talking about? All right. It used to be physical places. Now it's a virtual place for most people. It's not that we don't go to restaurants. It's not that we don't have Starbucks stops. But the point is most people now, the third place has become this virtual spot. It's my gaming place. It's my Facebook space. It's my Instagram place. In other words, there's some place we go to connect. And for a lot of people, it's not even with people anymore. We could be in a crowd, but we're in that space. Y'all see it? And for too many people, the space, that space, that third space, has become all-consuming. Marriages are breaking because of that virtual place. Relationships are strained because of that virtual place. So what I'm saying is give God your place. In other words, don't just wait until some random thing and, oh yeah, here's a little prayer. But think of your place of prayer. For some people, it's a spot in their house. Others, it's a specific chair. Sometimes, you know, it's a little nook in your home or whatever it is. But what I'm saying is have a place that you meet God and meet Him there. Practical tip, go to the place of prayer before you go to your third place. All right? You know, for me, if I start checking email and stuff in the morning or whatever, I'm not going to make it to prayer. I have to actually get to that spot before I open my virtual worlds. Why? Because once you open all those windows, you are sucked in. Am I the only one or is this real? Okay, so you have to have some priorities in this, and you need to give God your place. So I need to prioritize prayer. Number two, I need a place of prayer. Number three, I need a plan for prayer. I need a plan for prayer. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 says, "Once Jesus was in a certain place praying, as he finished, one of his disciples came to him and said, 'Lord, teach us to pray,' just as John taught his disciples." Jesus says, "This is how you should pray." And then he walked everybody through what we refer to often as the Lord's Prayer. So what I want to do for those of you today who did not stop to grab one of the bulletins on your way in, I've got an outline of the Lord's Prayer that's expanded with a lot of extra content and helps in it. Just slip your hand up. I want everyone to make sure you get one of these. So if you didn't get a bulletin on the way in with the notes and all that stuff, grab one of these. I want to make sure everybody gets one. Why is this so important? Because sometimes when you're starting to pray, and this is a first discipline, you may find yourself with a priority, and you may find yourself in a place, but I don't know what to do. So if nothing else, start with this and just literally pray your way down the page, and you'll watch the Holy Spirit begins to connect with you in that spot, and all of a sudden he begins to expand what you're doing and saying, and pretty soon you run out of time before you're at the end of your list. All right? It's just going to happen, I promise you. So a lot of us already have a discipline like this, but maybe some of us don't. And so what I wanted to make sure is everybody has something that they can leave with, all right? So as we're getting our way to this, it's important that we have a priority for prayer, a place of prayer, and a plan for prayer. But at some point, we actually have to pray. And for many people, prayer is literally just the priority, place, and plan. But it's number four that I really wanted to slow down and spend some time with you on, because this is where the whole cake comes together, all right? So let's write number four down. I need to focus on the personal relationship with God in prayer. I need to focus on the personal relationship I have with God in prayer. So what I'm saying is my prayer isn't my priority, my place, and my plan. My prayer can't be my lists. It has to be God. It's the relationship. And what I really want to do is help you connect with God in prayer. Connect with God in prayer. Personally. In other words, a personal connection. So that you're not simply a lone ranger just spouting out syllables into the air, but there's a literal and personal connection that you pray in. And what I have found out is this: how you see God has a huge influence on the way you actually relate to Him. And for many of us, our view of God is distorted by either pain or religion. For example, I grew up in church, a very holy church. It was a holiness church. I loved it as a kid because it was like a three-ring circus. I mean, you never knew what was going to happen. It was loud, people rolling on the floor. You think it's crazy in here? You should have been in my Pentecostal church when I was growing up. Awesome. I mean, you wanted a front row seat in that spot because you could see everything. But I also had a preacher that was always mad about everything. He had about a 10-foot finger. It was always in my face like this, and I was pretty sure I was always ready to go to hell. And he was going to make sure I knew I was heading to hell. And he was always mad about something like, ah, you know, one of those kind of preachers. Hey, you're laughing. It was scary to me as a kid. And I actually thought that's what God was like. You know, like the Wizard of Oz. You know, this big, mad, angry, green face with smoke and, oh, what do you want in my presence? And I just want to go to Kansas. Go get a broom and perform for me and maybe I'll, you know. Or we have this idea that God is mad and he's angry and if we perform just right, maybe he'll do something for us. But that isn't at all. That's a caricature. That isn't a character of God. That's a distorted image of who God is. And it's one of the reasons why people won't connect with God in prayer is because our actual perspective of him is not biblical. So I want to connect with you today and spend the last few minutes of today's message dealing with this very issue so that at the end of this, perhaps what you'd realize, if that's who God is, I want to spend my whole day with God. Not just how do I tiptoe real quickly into the prayer closet, get my toe in there. As I said my prayer, God, don't strike me as I go out. Besides, I want to spend my day with God. That's what we're looking for. So one of the best descriptions of the Godhead I have found in Scripture is actually in a benediction or a closing prayer found in 2 Corinthians. It's right there in your handout. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14, is from the Message paraphrase. It says this: may the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ and the extravagant love of God the Father and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. So can we just take a couple of minutes and see how the layers of all these things work together? All right, let's talk about this. The Apostle Paul introduces to us in order and with personality the Godhead, or the Trinity, if you will. All right, so I want to start with number one, the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Write that down, the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. So right off the bat, the first thing he does is deal with the relational dimension of prayer of who Jesus Christ is and what he represents to us. Our great Redeemer filled with grace. Filled with grace. Filled with grace. And we see him here being described as the high priest between us, or the mediator between us. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and God. Hebrews chapter 4, the second part of verses 14 through 16, it says, "For we have a great high priest," that's Jesus, "who has gone into the very presence of God the Father," that being Jesus, the Son of God. "Our high priest, who is the mediator between us and the Father, is not one who cannot feel sympathy for our weakness." Circle the phrase weakness. In other words, we have a high priest or a mediator who's going to actually work between us and the Father in a way, and he relates with sympathy to our weakness. On the contrary, we have a high priest who was tempted in every way that we are, but did not sin. Let us have confidence. Everyone say confidence. Then and approach God's throne where there is grace. There we will receive, what is the phrase? Mercy, and find grace to what? Help us. Look at the last part. Just when we need it. Just when we need it. What does that mean? Let me give you kind of an illustration of that. Let's say that I'm in prayer and I'm dealing with a temper-related issue. And my temper's hot, and I've blown it once again. I've just used words wrong, and I've really, whatever it is, you know. And so now I'm sitting here, and I'm like, oh, God, you know, help me with this. And I don't know why I do this. I just lose my cool and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just praying because my heart is heavy. And I come to God, and I'm saying that. The picture here is Jesus is right there at the right hand of the Father, if you will. And he's saying, now Father, Dave's in trouble. And he's coming to us because he's confessing that he's... Now listen, I want you to know, I faced that. That's really hard. That's a tough situation. It's just amazingly difficult to get through that without really losing some stuff. And I've faced that. So I want you to know, Father, that that's really hard. And remember, I've paid the price for this. So let's... You see what I'm saying? So the picture of Jesus as our mediator, our high priest, is he's actually interceding on our behalf, relating to our weakness. Did not sin, but he's relating to our weakness. He's not up there saying, oh, wait a second, big boy, I'm sure not going to go talk to the Father about that. I mean, that's the third time this week you've been in here for that. Get your stuff together before you come in here all up in prayer. Right? That's not the picture at all we see here. He's relating to our weakness, and he's saying, Father, listen, you got to understand, this is really, really tough situation. Let's work with some power in this situation because I've paid for that. So if you understand that Jesus represents grace-filled approach to God the Father, it changes your whole perspective of who Jesus is. Amen? So you just got to see it that way. All right, changes everything about my relationship with Christ. So the first thing is the amazing grace of Jesus. The second thing is the extravagant love of God the Father. Write that down. The extravagant love of God the Father. See, the real tragedy for many people in life is that the pain that they have in their soul because of some dynamic of relationship or the absence of a relationship with a father in their natural life has distorted our perspective of who God the Father actually is. And the truth is, everybody, I actually had a good relationship with my earthly father. But the vast majority of people, that's a pain point in life. And their father is either demanding, he's absent, he's oppressive, he's abusive, any number of things that fathers in pain sometimes are to kids as they're trying to sort out all the issues in their own life. And it produces this downstream effect of continued turbulence and turmoil in the souls of their children. And I want you to know this morning that if that's you, if you're here today and you've got a father wound in your life, that Jesus wants to heal you of that. See, a lot of times people won't come to Father God. They'll just think King and Master. It's like, I can't call him Father, Pastor Dave, because my relationship with my own dad is a mess. But I can deal with the King part of it. I can deal with the Master part of it. I could just be a good little Christian soldier. And he's like, no. You need to be healed of that in Jesus' name, because God's favorite title, his favorite way to relate with you and me, is Father. His Father. Let me introduce you to Father God. Look at this powerful passage of Scripture in Psalms chapter 103, verses 8 through 13. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He's not up there just like I thought he was, just looking for a reason to be mad at me. No, he's not going to pay us back for the sins and iniquities. Jesus already paid for that. Watch this. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. And the original word for fear simply means honor and worship with reverence him. Not be terrified of him. Watch this. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so is the Lord's compassion for those who fear or revere him. Let me give you that picture. So Jesus is interceding to the Father on our behalf. And the Father says, hey, then let's get our arms. It's like he's saying, I'm going to get my arms around him. Come on, let's bring him up, get him in our lap. Let's be close to that situation. So when we come to the Lord in prayer, we have a picture here of Jesus, our high priest, our intermediate. He's interceding with us on our behalf with the Father. And the Father says, listen, you know what I want to do? I'm going to draw him or her up and just sit him on my lap. Put my arms around him or her and let him feel how much I love him or her. Now listen, I don't care if you're 16 years old or if you're 76 years old. I don't care if you're a tender man or an old crusty dude. That'd be like me, old crusty dude. Deep inside every one of us is this little boy, this little girl, who desperately wants the Father arms around us. That's exactly who God is. That's exactly who God is. When I carry this perspective of God the Father into prayer, it changes everything about what prayer is. He, listen to me, wants you. God sees you. not just your stuff. He sees you. And you know what? He wants you. He wants you this in this spot up close, walking with him. So write this down. You got to change your view of God if you're going to have a great relationship with him. Don't relate to God as a far-off, angry, distant, smoky, mad God just looking with vindictive power to get you in trouble. That's not who he is. This is who he is. So let me tell you about that. We got the Jesus Christ, grace. God the Father, love. Let me talk to you about the last one. The third dimension of our personal relationship with God in prayer is, number three, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. The intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you briefly about this, then we're going to close in prayer. Prayer, for a lot of people, is the moment that we spend vocalizing whatever it is to God. And we see this in a place or a posture where we've gone to a place of prayer and literally we're in a meeting with God in prayer, discussing or talking or whatever it is, and there's this function going on. But at some point then, we rise from that spot or we turn or whatever it is and we leave the place of prayer. And here's where we see the Holy Spirit, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit. This is God who actually goes with us when we leave the prayer meeting. The Holy Spirit goes with us. The Holy Spirit is in us. The Holy Spirit goes with us. In other words, when we leave the place of prayer, now the Holy Spirit is like, all right, let's go tackle life together. We're going to go do this. This is going to be awesome together. You're going to watch. And so what will happen is you're going to watch the Holy Spirit, who is our counselor, who is our comforter. He's going to be with us to actually work with us in situations where we're confused. He's going to bring light to it. He's going to show us what to do and how to respond in God's plan and purpose for our life. He's going to do all these things. He'll be with us there to guide us. He'll be with us to provide direction to us when we're about to step out of line and do that thing, you know, whatever it is that thing is for you. He's like, ahem, ahem, let's don't do that thing. Come on, let's go back this way. That's the Holy Spirit. And when we learn to live with God in prayer, there is a place where we feel like we're praying with God, but then we're also communing with God in life by the active power and presence of the Holy Spirit, who goes with us every moment, every day, as God, the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome, everybody? Now listen, I'm so teased just to say, so settle in for hours. Let me talk to you about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Let me talk about the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me talk about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But I can't do all that because you won't just leave and go to lunch. But what I am wanting to draw you to in the layers of prayer is the Holy Spirit is who goes with you when you leave the place of prayer. You understand that? He's the one who leads and guides and provides and does all these other things. So my hope today is that you would actually allow the Holy Spirit then to bring this all together so that you think of prayer in a completely different way. All right? And so I'm going to speak over you today, LifeLink Church, that the amazing grace of the Master Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God the Father, and the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you this week. You ready to take on some prayer together? All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us. I'm asking by the work of the Holy Spirit that you would cause our soul to respond to you with an upreach, Lord, that our spirit, God, would reach for you and engage you in prayer through the awesome grace of Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God the Father, and that the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit will continue to abide with us as we move into our moments of the days. I thank you, Lord, right now. As we continue to pray, I want to pray for those of you today that you know you're not in a right place with God. You know you feel far away from God. You feel like you're under guilt or condemnation. You know you need to get right or get started in a relationship with God. And so today, I would like to say a quick, simple prayer. I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. But I want to say a simple prayer with those of you who are at a turning point. You're ready to give your life to God through Jesus Christ and start a relationship or restart that relationship with him in a fresh new way. If that's you today, slip up your hand right now. Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. Come on, slip your hand up. I want to pray with you real quick. That's good. I see those hands. Anybody else? Don't be shy. Don't be embarrassed. This is just you and God. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Just a couple more moments. I can feel the Holy Spirit tugging for somebody. Don't know who it is. Thank you. I see that hand right there. Anybody else? All right. Thank you. Saw that hand. Thank you. I see it. Boy, God's doing something. I just can't leave yet. The Holy Spirit's not ready. Thank you. I see that hand. Anybody else? Thanks. Gotcha. Lord sees it. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you for that. I'm asking now that every one of us would just say this simple prayer out loud. Repeat it after me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for your unconditional love. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Today, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sins. Wash me, cleanse me, and make me new. I turn my life over to you. I turn away from my past. I turn away from my old way of living and give my life completely to you. Come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Lead me forward as the true and living God. I'll live the rest of my life for you and you alone. Fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys. Life change.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.